Going In Raw is now a CastBox original. CastBox is the fastest growing, highest rated podcast app on both iOS and Android, where you can find all your favorite podcasts. You can still listen to Going In Raw wherever you get your podcasts, but we hope you'll give CastBox a shot. We think it's the best.
Hey, Rendo, Steve here.
And Larson, welcome to Going In Raw Countout, the only top 10 countdown type show right here. Here at youtube.com/Steven Larson. We're also available wherever fine podcasts are available, including the CastBox app. We've got a great partnership with CastBox. Great app. Check it out, please.
Yeah.
Also at Apple, Google Play, Spotify, Stitcher, all the podcast apps. We should be there.
Yeah, man.
We're also on the Patreon at patreon.com/Steve and Larson. You know how Patreon works. You give us funds. In return, we give you stuff.
Yeah.
So that's how it works.
Exchange of currency for goods and services.
Capitalism.
That's how it works.
We're also at Pro Wrestling Tees at prowrestlingtees.com/goingraw.
Yeah.
You can find that shirt there.
I find it funny.
You can find this shirt at Pro Wrestling Tees, just not in our shop.
Yeah, we don't make any money if you buy a Rainmaker shirt.
It's a great shirt, though.
It is
Thank you, Steve, good shirt.
Thank
you, Steve, for
getting me a shirt. No sweat. Thank you, me, for getting me my shirt. Yeah, so all good places, but we're not here to talk about ourselves, Larson. No, we're here to talk about repackaging and who in the WWE might benefit from a repackaging.
You know, I think it's pretty plainly obvious these days that they need to do something different with Roman Reigns.
Yeah, Roman Reigns.
We'll get more of that later.
Yeah, at the very end of the show.
But that's the genesis. That was the genesis of the idea to do this show was... obviously, they need to do something different with Roman Reigns because what they're doing isn't working.
Yeah.
But are there other talents in WWE that need to take a different path?
Yeah.
What they're doing now isn't working.
Yeah, probably. Well, we did find 10 of them anyways. Yeah. So we'll get right into this with number 10. Heath Slater. I got kids, Heath Slater. Now, speaking of that shirt, the I got kids shirt, there was a time when him and Rhino, and he was the focal point of the story, of course, over there on SmackDown Live when he was trying to get a contract.
Yeah.
When the brand split initially happened, and he was really getting over. And granted, it was as a comedy thing. He had, you know, his family was featured, and you know, he was trying to get them an above ground pool. That was his goal. So he needs money because he's got kids. And Heath Slater was a very effective comedic performer. His acting skills were actually really, really good. He did have one moment with Brock Lesnar.
Oh, that was good.
Where he, you know, I guess he was supposed to fight Brock Lesnar. I forget what the circumstances.
I think he was confronting him with the idea that if he could fight Brock Lesnar,
right,
paycheck.
Yeah.
And he told Brock, you know, hey, I got kids. And then Brock said, I don't give a shit.
Blank about your kids.
He said shit.
Yeah, he said
shit about
shit.
Your kids.
So there was that moment. And it was, but Heath played it. He played it really, really well.
And then he got destroyed by Brock Lesnar.
Him and Ryan ended up being tag champions. I think the personality aspect of Heath Slater really can still be utilized. He seems to have taken a bit of time off from the gym maybe lately. He seems a little softer these days.
Well.
I'll put it this way. With so much Triple H praise being heaped on guys like Jinder Mahal and Drew McIntyre for essentially rebuilding themselves, for re-sculpting themselves into these super jack guys, I don't think Heath Slater needs any of that. But he's not really doing himself any favors by... not maybe trying that road a little bit more.
I understand what you're saying.
You know?
Yeah, but I think the larger issue is that this gimmick, the I Got Kids thing, is kind of run its course.
Yeah, not kind of. That was a while ago.
Not much else they can do with it, especially once they moved over to Raw, Slater and Rhino. They're rarely featured on TV. So why not take this opportunity, have Slater, I don't know, turn on Rhino. Everybody loves Rhino.
Yeah, people love Rhino.
I think it'd be too expected for Rhino to be the one to do the heel turn.
Yeah.
Have Heath turn on Rhino, give them some sort of story, even if it just plays out on like...
Is that you or me?
It must be me.
Okay,
on main event.
I hope so.
Give him a storyline, a fresh start, do a little something different with Heath Slater.
Yeah, I agree with that. Although I don't think you should get away. He's so likable. That was the thing that people really, I think, glommed onto, is that he's so likable that I'm not sure a heel necessarily, Heath Slater, would really be the way to go. I think if people see that he's putting in the work, look, if they start, the second people start seeing what Kanellis has done with his body, that's why I focus on. I'm not trying to fat shame anybody. I'm the last person who should be doing that. But it is kind of it's a bit on the noticeable side. And I think if you start to put in the work at the gym and you start looking a certain way, people are going to be like, that guy's work. They've associated career turnarounds so much because of Jinder and Drew. And it's, you know, obviously they're all part of the three-man band, you know, the faction from before. I think it wouldn't hurt him, but with Heath Slater, yeah, he does need some sort of repackaging that can still play to his strengths as the guy that you really want to see succeed, even though he's a bit of a goofball.
Mm-hmm.
I remember getting asked the question a lot back when they were champions, when they were tag champions, sort of what's the ceiling on that Heath Slater, I Got Kids thing. And I don't think we ever really saw what the ceiling could have been, but we definitely both said that, you know, it's got kind of a limited ceiling.
Yeah, pretty much once they won those titles, it seemed like.
That was ceiling.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was the end of that story.
Now, they could have gone further places with the family, like featuring the family. I wish they'd do more pre-film stuff in the first place.
Mm-hmm.
But I think they could have gone there a bit more. But, yeah, I don't know. Getting him out of the tag division, and I know the singles division, you know, on both brands is pretty stacked. It's pretty loaded.
Yeah.
You don't want him to end up like Ty Dillinger.
No.
But at the same time, you know, if you give him some stuff to work with, like you said on Main Event, you know, like Kurt Hawkins right now.
He's kind of like the top star of Main Event, isn't
right?
he?
Right. Yeah, he is.
You
no,
know, he loses every
match.
Yeah.
I mean, he's sort of the co-main event with whatever Raw or SmackDown recap match they're going to give you on Main Event.
Yeah.
But, you know, I would rather be in that position that, you know, with an actual story, granted mm-hmm. it's a losing streak story.
Mm-hmm.
He's at 0-197 right now. And if he gets $500 per match, that's almost $100,000 right there.
Yeah.
I mean, so I don't know what his downside guarantee. It's probably a lot more than that. But that point remains, like, you'd rather have something to do, because I guarantee you, Kurt Hawkins, he's going to get a win and they're going to make a big deal about it at some point.
Yeah.
And so, you know, Heath Slater just needs some little element of story to grab onto. And he's the kind of guy who I think could really run with something, you know, with anything, whatever they give him, he can run with it.
Yeah. Yeah. He's shown that in the past.
Yeah, absolutely. So yeah, Heath Slater, I think that he still has a lot. There's a lot left there. They just need to figure it out.
Agreed.
And a repackaging would do just that.
Yes.
Number nine.
Nine.
The Ascension.
So this was a team that dominated the tag division NXT for the better part of a year.
Talk about lofty expectations
and
when
they came
to Maine. Came
to Maine, tweaked their package a bit, and then they kind of became the laughing stock of the tag division.
Yeah, this was mind-boggling. I have never seen. Have you? Let me ask him. Have you ever seen a career turn so sharply with a single promo? This was a call up that a lot of people had lofty expectations for.
It seemed like a no-brainer. They show up, they beat people up.
Yeah,
like, just have them show up, beat up whatever two teams are in the match.
Yeah.
Like, really beat them up.
Yeah.
They don't need to say a word.
Yeah.
They exit the ring.
Yeah, exactly.
And just have them do that for a few weeks and then start beating jobbers and stuff.
They have a really cool look.
Yeah.
They do. I mean, like, still, they are very well branded.
Mm-hmm.
They had the most bizarre, like, it sucked all heat away from them. And I know maybe they thought that, okay, this, look. Maybe there was some, maybe they wanted to bring them down a peg in terms of some attitude. I don't know. You can kind of only speculate, because this promo, when they got called up, they delivered this promo where they just ran down everybody that they were obviously influenced by, which in theory, I guess if the execution is proper, you can maybe make a name for yourself.
Well, it'd be
doing
one thing
like that
for them to say, you know, tag teams of the past, we've bypassed you. But then don't put them in the shoulder pads.
Yeah.
The face paint, you know, obviously referencing Legion of Doom, Road Warriors.
Yeah, sure.
Because then it seems like, we are saying we have moved beyond you, yet at the same time, visually, you can see they are obviously inspired by those teams. So there's a weird disconnect there.
And the nature of the rundown was so, here's the thing. You can be disrespectful in character, but to disrespect the legacy of a tag team at a certain point just makes you come off as asinine.
Yeah.
And it was this weird thing where they just immediately came out, dropped this promo where they really came off as simply asinine, and people just weren't, they didn't get it, and they weren't into it.
They job out to the New Age Outlaws.
And then they jobbed him out. They just started jobbing him out left and right. And it honestly, so here's the thing. When I say I wonder if that attitude problems, it's because it felt like something that would happen to a team that had attitude problems to adjust their attitudes. Like, we see that kind of stuff happen not all the time, but we've seen it happen in history.
Yeah.
You get a big head backstage, they either de-push you, take the title off you.
Saw that with Baron Corbin.
You're exactly right. And so it made me feel these guys have some heat backstage. And I've never heard that. I've never had confirmation about that. But that's what it, when you get that kind of, immediately.
Yeah.
Like, it just made people not hate them as, oh my God, these guys are devastating heels.
It was X-Pac heat.
They immediately had the X-Pac heat.
Yeah.
Like, we don't want to see you because you're asinine.
Yeah.
And that's not the kind of thing.
And it seemed like they were maybe turning a corner with them a bit when the Ascension started doing stuff with Breezango and the Fashion File segments.
Yeah.
They were showing off their comedic chops. And they were really entertaining, really funny. Once Fashion Files stopped airing on SmackDown, and I just
rebranded them, I repackaged them.
The Asinine. And then once they just made Fashion Files an online exclusive thing, both Breezango and The Ascension, things cooled with them.
Mm-hmm.
See, and now The Ascension are on Raw, but barely.
Yeah, totally.
And it's a bummer. They still have a lot of talent.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they do.
Bummer they're being underutilized.
Although they're still miles better than one. I'll never get their NXT debut when it was Connor and a different guy. I forget who. What was the name?
Was it Braum?
Braum? Was that his name? Yeah, maybe. Braum, Bram. Anyways, it was really silly and really weird. Anyways, let's continue on. Number eight.
Eight.
Shane McMahon. He needs a rebrand.
Well, he's just kind of boring.
Yeah. So remember when Shane was a sort of a rich kid heel type. He was kind of a rich kid anti, because he would do all the cool stuff, so people really love Shane.
Is this the Mean Street Posse era?
Yeah.
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 Pete Gass. Joey Abs.
Rodney. Yeah. He would do all sorts of crazy stuff, and he still does crazy stuff, right?
But he seems like he's mostly just around to do the occasional crazy thing.
Yeah, and he always sounds congested. I was kind of hoping that he would, turn. There would be like a double turn at Mania. He would go heel, and then Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn would go face. Something, I don't know. Like, he would become an Eichel. I don't know. Have him be Vince 2.0. I know they're already doing that with Stephanie. Whatever.
But she's on TV so rarely.
Yeah, I know. She's not really getting across very often. I just think that, he's so mellow. And it's like, Grant, I know, you become a dad, you mellow out a little bit.
Yeah, I get that.
But, it's a performance.
I know.
You can act a little crazier.
Yeah.
I just feel like he comes out there and he's so, lethargic,
mm-hmm.
Which is weird.
I know. Because
his whole thing is he comes out and he dances. By the time he gets to the ring, he's, winded and purple. So some sort of repackage for Shane McMahon. What direction would you go with Shane in terms of repackage?
Well, I would reform the Mean Street Posse, of course.
Okay, that makes sense. Yeah. That's good.
Yeah.
For what function? To run SmackDown?
Well, to kind of be his muscle.
Okay, yeah. So his muscle, he's like a gangster guy.
No, but he's, he's a heel now.
He's a lone, how about this? Shane McMahon, Lone Shark.
All right.
I like that.
And so the Mean Street Posse's back there to break some legs if necessary.
They go to the docks.
If someone doesn't pay up.
Yeah, if somebody doesn't pay off, they go to the docks and threaten to break legs. I don't know what you could do with him, but he just comes out and he just makes you want to take some Mucinex or something.
Mm-hmm.
Number seven.
Seven.
Heavy Machinery already, Larson? What? They're still in NXT.
I know, but you're not
Stakes
a huge...
Stakes and Weights?
You're not a huge fan of theirs.
Oh, I can't stand them. They're terrible.
They're a little too much. The gimmicks, too literal.
Yeah.
I mean, I get heavy machinery because they're a couple of hosses.
Yeah.
You know, large hosses.
Where does the machinery come through? Oh, they can move like machinery?
I guess so, but I didn't necessarily know that meant construction equipment. Jackhammers, yeah. Bulldozers.
Yeah, and they wear like hazard signs incorporated into their gear.
Literal.
It's the heavy machinery it's weird. They have the most 1995 gimmick, WCW gimmick.
I know. It seemed like they're time travelers from WCW.
It really feels
like high voltage.
Yeah. Except they're like a bit more athletic, or they can do more anyways.
Yeah.
Here's what I would do with heavy machinery. There is an Instagram picture of them doing a barbecue. And they had like barbecue, you know, like Lazy Sunday clothes on.
Yeah.
And they were grilling up. I would just do that.
They had some aprons.
One of them Otis might have had.
Okay.
I don't know.
Okay.
But I would just have them like the, you know.
Change the name to Steaks and Weights. Change the tag team name to Steaks and Weights.
Yeah, there you go.
And they're all about eating meat and lifting weights.
Yeah. And it's not a dramatic shift.
No.
It's not a dramatic shift.
No. You just change their color palette from what, yellow and black? Is that what it is right now?
Orange or yellow, black.
Yeah. To like red for barbecue sauce.
Okay, yeah.
And like a dark gray.
Yeah.
The weights.
Yeah, okay.
That's a pleasing color scheme.
Yeah.
And then, the steaks and weights, man.
Yeah.
I think that works.
I don't know if I'd like any of that. Maybe if they did food vlogs.
See, that'd be good.
Yeah. Do like Street Profits, they'll go out and like, what do? They do man on the street stuff, but they're usually only talking to each other.
Yeah. Which makes it kind of funnier.
So they do. Street Profits have that.
But they go to, you know, let's say they're traveling somewhere in Florida.
Yeah.
Or anywhere across the country. They find, you know, like they go on Yelp, find the top barbecue establishments.
Yeah.
In that particular city, and they do food vlogs.
That's it. No, yeah. They're the Guy Fieri's of NXT.
Yes.
Oh, I like that. And they can have like the bowling shirts with the flames.
Well, enough. Then you're, again, getting a bit too literal. Steaks and weights, though.
No, man, I'm telling you, because I don't like their outfits either. I mean, Otis, I guess it makes sense, but Tucker, I don't know. Tucker needs to grow out his beard or something. I don't know what he needs to do. He looks like a 1995 person.
I know.
It's really weird.
No, they need to ditch the singlets.
Okay, but what do you replace it with? It's kind of a big thing.
Oh, that's comfy clothes.
Yeah, like sweats.
Yeah, whatever you wear to a Sunday barbecue.
Oh, man. Like
some board shorts.
How about like their gimmick? Is there like a name for like the Costco? I feel like they should be Costco guys.
So the Kirklands.
Yes, the Kirklands. That's the Joey and Jimmy Kirkland.
No, Otis.
Otis and Tucker Kirkland.
Yeah.
That's good. Brother. Yeah, repackaged as Costco 11 brothers.
Okay.
We go there.
They're all about those $1.99 hot dogs.
It's $1.50.
Oh my God.
For a hot dog and a soda.
And that's $1.99 pizza, right?
Yeah, and I think that's what it is. It's $1.99 slice of pizza and a drink.
$3 chicken bake.
Yeah, but they don't bother with that. They don't bother with that. They go straight to the dollar freeze.
Oh yeah, the $1.50 churro.
The Kirklands. That's good. Costco brothers. It's perfect. Number six. Apollo Crews. He's probably like the best athlete on the damn roster. Oh, why is this guy stuck with Titus Worldwide?
Fantastic wrestler. Here's the thing. Like, if they actually, that period of time when Titus Worldwide picked up those two wins over T-Bar, they had opportunity to build on some momentum.
I know.
Titus is a really personable guy. He's got a ton of charisma.
Oh, sure.
He's fun to watch in the ring when he's throwing people around.
Yeah.
Apollo Crews, as you mentioned, is one of, if not the best athletes in the entirety of the WWE. He was really good in the ring. And over the last, I don't know, 4 months, he's been stringing together a lot of really good in-ring performances.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
They need to build upon that.
Yeah.
I always liked the idea you had for Apollo Crews back when he was in NXT,
mm-hmm.
where it's not really a heel thing, but he knew that he was the best.
Yeah, right.
That no one could touch him in the ring.
Yeah.
And so he was a bit arrogant about it.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Again, not a full-on heel thing,
mm-hmm.
but he just knew and felt that he was the best. And no one was even close.
Yeah.
And so he walked around with that air of arrogance.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's a subtle little thing, but I think adding that dimension of character to him with his impressive in-ring ability would take him far.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he's got all the talent in the world. They just need to find a way to utilize it.
Yeah, man. I mean, this goes back to his call-up, which everybody agrees was
way too
soon.
Early.
Yeah.
I mean, he didn't get a chance to develop a character in NXT
at
all.
No, he did not. No. That's still puzzling to me. That's still really weird. But yeah, no, Apollo Crews, he still has all the Raw potential there. And no, they have not taken advantage of it.
How old is he?
He is 30 years old.
Yeah.
I was going to say, he's 6'1", he's 240. So have him drop
35 pounds.
35 pounds.
That's a lot.
Yeah. That's too much.
Yes.
Yeah, it's not good. So you can't go to 205 Live, man. You're stuck where you are. You're stuck on the main roster. So they need to get him. Yeah.
And lately he's been showing, since he's been aligned with Titus, a lot more personality. He's never really given an opportunity to show much of any personality.
That's true. Yeah, I mean, at least he has that.
Yeah.
And I do like him and Titus and Dana Brooke together. I like that. It's just, you understand that they're at their ceiling.
Yes. As like Titus reached Worldwide.
It.
Yes.
Yeah, they've reached it.
No, I understand that. Yeah. Yes, it feels like that he could be accomplishing a heck of a lot more.
I feel like Titus is always on the verge of being punished for something, too. Ever since he got suspended for 2 months.
No, he did that fall and slide in the ring. He's good for a while.
I honestly thought when he did that, I was like, oh, man, he's going to get suspended again.
No, man, if the reports are true and Vince couldn't stop laughing.
Yeah, he's probably good. You're right.
He's good.
Surprised he didn't get a push. Number.
Oh, I know. Although they made him clumsy for a week, and then they seemed to forget about it.
Number five.
Five.
Chad Gable.
Another WWE superstar who has all the talent in the world.
Mm-hmm.
And it seemed like they were doing something interesting with him and Shelton Benjamin as a tag team. They seemed to be on the precipice of winning those SmackDown tag titles from the Usos. They never went through with it.
Yeah.
Now he's back on Raw as a face using the old American Alpha theme.
Oh, that's so bad.
We just saw a little bit of what he could do as kind of an annoying heel character, and it was starting to work.
Yeah, I know.
They just need to decide, okay, Chad Gable. Maybe they will when Jason Jordan returns. If they get them into a feud. Find a way for him to utilize his incredible athleticism, his incredible in-ring abilities, and he's got personality and he's got charisma. He's got it all. They build him, last time he's on TV, is 204 pounds.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe he's someone who would benefit if they don't have a spot for him on Raw to go to 205 Live, because I think he can be massive over there.
He would definitely have some amazing matches. We know the kid can wrestle. We know from his stint in NXT that he's got all the personality in the world. I remember, man, and I know you remember this too, that when they were in NXT and we'd see their stuff, he was definitely the standout personality. He's on par. I mean, he's as good a wrestler as Jason Jordan was. And so it was just, we were both kind of excited. I mean, it felt like an early call up, but we were both excited because like, oh, hey, cool. That's neat. Like, we're going to be able to see what they can do.
Super high on them. And
yeah, I know.
We thought they were going to be a
massive,
popular tag team in WWE because that was their trajectory in NXT.
Yeah, it really was.
They had a good storyline. They had good chemistry. And then they got brought to SmackDown. They did nothing with them.
They put the titles on them, and they still didn't develop one iota of character. There was absolutely no character development whatsoever with them, and it just absolutely stunted everything with them. Jason Jordan, once he got called to be Kurt Angle's son, at least he was given a lot of character stuff to work with, whether you like it or not. But Chad Gable, then he was put with Shelton Benjamin. And yeah, like you said, they were doing like a little bit of stuff, but it's obvious if he's doing a singles thing now on Raw, it is plainly obvious he needs new gear. He needs a haircut, needs to get rid of that headband that he's got. He needs brand new music.
Yeah.
He needs a complete changeover. He needs the kind of stuff. And granted, I know this totally didn't work. It totally didn't work. The Kurt Hawkins face the fact stuff. He needs something along the lines of some sort of thing that he can grab onto, a 1 minute video segment every week that can sort of repackage him and reintroduce him to the WWE universe.
Yeah.
Because the rate he's going now, it's not going to happen.
Yeah.
It is not going to happen. And he's probably, if you were to say, hey, name five people who you could see being released in a year, he's on that list. Unless they think, hey, we're going to give this a lot of time because we know there's a lot of potential there. It's just a matter of a spot opening up.
Well, I think they know he's a really good worker, and so I think they'll keep really good workers around.
You would hope so. I just think there's a lot of really good workers. How old is Chad Gable these days?
He's going to be his late 20s.
He was born in 86. He's 32.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah, man, I don't know. Here's the thing about him. He's the kind of guy where I honestly believe if you give him something, he'll really, really run with it.
Yeah.
And it's obvious there's a lot of personality there. It's just you need to focus on it. You need to spotlight it. You need to give him some opportunities.
Mm-hmm.
So Yeah, I mean, I was kind of disappointed that it wasn't him that got the Kurt Angle son thing, because I think that him and Kurt Angle might have had the chemistry, especially if they let Kurt Angle loosen up a little bit.
I know.
That could have been a pairing that would have been absolutely amazing if they let Kurt loosen up, if they had Chad sort of go under his wing properly, as opposed to the route they took with Jason Jordan and Kurt Angle, because they just had like zero chemistry.
Yeah.
And that storyline went absolutely nowhere. Chad Gable definitely could use a repackaging. Number four.
Four.
John Cena. The oldest line in the book is John Cena needs to turn heel. Well, yeah. I mean, he's on like, you know, super part-time duty these days. If you want John Cena to matter when it comes to his performances, or when it comes to how you use him in storyline, because he can still be very, very effective.
Yeah.
But I mean, come on. The last storyline we saw Cena in was him yelling at The Undertaker through the camera and then showing up at WrestleMania to sit with the fans.
Mm-hmm.
That's not a story. That's when you don't have any stories. That's what you do as a joke.
Yeah.
And that's what they ended up doing. So you can have a Cena renaissance if you turn him heel.
Oh, yeah.
If you turn him heel, maybe you do the Hollywood angle. I don't know. Like, you know, goes to Hollywood, sells out. I don't know. Something like that. I know it's something that he probably wants to do, but apparently he was on they were on the precipice of doing it with The Rock, or with him versus The Rock.
Yeah. And they had new music for him and everything.
Mm-hmm, yeah. So kind of interesting they didn't pull the trigger on that one then. But, you know, I think that you could still get a lot out of Cena. I mean, he still knows perfectly how to work the crowd.
I mean, he still has, I would suspect, at least one more good run in him,
mm-hmm.
you know, in terms of dedicating time, because there's still a storyline out there about him breaking Ric Flair's world title record.
Yeah.
You know, and if you want to make it more interesting, turn him heel, especially now that he's on a bit of a losing streak. I know he just beat Triple H at greatest, longest, largest Royal Rumble, but that show is kind of non-canon anyway.
Yeah, it's totally non-canon.
So have him, you know, lose a bunch, get frustrated, turn mm-hmm. heel, and then go after the title one last time as this angry, mean heel character.
Yeah.
Something different we haven't seen in a while.
Yep.
And I think it could be really effective.
Yeah, no, I agree totally. And I think it could be like big. I think it could be like a big, big deal, you know?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So, I mean, that is one of the things about WWE these days, is that they really are hesitant to change the status quo. They are very hesitant to change the status quo.
I know. I mean, look at the Roman Reigns situation. He has not gotten over the way they want him to, and yet they don't ever really deviate from the plan.
I know. It's weird.
Which they should.
Number three.
Three.
Bobby Roode.
Just bring us heel Bob Roode back.
Yeah.
NXT Bob Roode was one of the best characters in wrestling.
Yeah.
Just wildly entertaining, putting on great matches. He was like the master strategist in all of NXT.
Mm-hmm.
And now that he's on the main roster, I don't feel like any of that is carried over.
Yeah, I know. It's
like watch his matches. Sorry, I didn't interrupt you. Matches against Nakamura, especially the first one.
Mm-hmm.
It's just great storytelling. And great use of strategy. And then when his opponent slips up,
mm-hmm.
he strikes. It's fantastic.
He sadly has been kind of reduced to just his theme song.
Yeah, that's his character.
And I mean, it's fun to see him do funny things. Like he was apparently at SmackDown after the show or whatever, singing Wonderwall with Elias. That's cool and everything. You could still do that as a heel. We saw him dancing with No Way Jose
No Way Jose was tricking him into dancing.
Exactly. There is something very special about a heel Bobby Roode. We saw it on NXT, and I'm sure Vince thinks that if somebody's theme song is just glorious, you know, the over and over again with sort of the gospel-esque music behind it, that's what he's got to be. But he doesn't. He could totally be a heel. He could be a great heel. He could be one of your top heels. And that's how I always envisioned him coming to WWE, was a top heel. And then he comes into NXT, and that's what we got. And it was amazing. It was fantastic. It was glorious.
Yes.
And then when he showed up smiling, like it looked like it hurt when he smiled. And if you're not going to do that, at least give us some of the Bobby Roode we saw with Charlotte Flair in the mixed match challenge.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like she kept on trying to goad him into doing the woo, and he couldn't quite get it right. So give me somebody who, like, you know,
more than anything, he just needs some more. He just needs more personality.
Yeah, and motivation.
Yeah,
he needs motivation. Yeah. You know, and just shouting out the word glorious, which these days when he says glorious, you can tell like he wants to eye roll. He wants to eye roll when he says the word glorious. He's got to be tired of that, man.
Oh yeah.
Anyways, number two.
Two.
Dean Ambrose.
Oh, good. You used that picture.
He's been gone. Yeah, I use whatever you gave me.
Oh, I sent two of them over to you.
Oh, well, I chose accidentally the correct one. Look at him. So here's the thing about Dean Ambrose. Larson, what's his nickname?
Lunatic Fringe.
Yeah. Does he come off to you as somebody who could the word lunatic be applied
no,
to?
No, he's a bit quirky.
Yeah, he's a bit quirky. He's silly. He's got a good sense of humor. He's pretty funny. Seems like a cool guy, though.
Yeah.
He needs to be edgy. He needs to be dangerous.
Dangerous. That's the word.
He kind of needs to be a heel in order to do that.
Yes, he needs to be dangerous.
Now he
needs to live up to his nickname, Lunatic Fringe, and actually inspire potentially fear in people because he's so unpredictable, unhinged, and dangerous.
And you know what the ceiling on that is?
Unlimited, basically.
It's Stone Cold Steve Austin. Yeah. That's your ceiling. And when Dean Ambrose, who has such a unique delivery with his promos, he's obviously very good and very savvy and very quick with his words. His wrestling skills are good. He's a good wrestler.
Yeah, he's all right.
I think it always saddened me when he said that, you know, he wanted to do something real interesting with Brock and Brock just wanted to do Brock. That was very sad. His WWF championship run was underwhelming, mainly because they didn't give him a lot to do.
Yeah.
I do feel like a lot of the problems with Dean Ambrose are simply that creative hasn't really wanted to pull the trigger on somebody who's truly edgy, truly dangerous. Why was Baron Corbin the guy initiating the crazy stuff?
I know.
During their feud.
I know, the forklift stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, look at Braun Strowman, how they've booked him. He's this huge, monstrous guy who destroys things, and inherent in his character is this air of danger that any moment he could absolutely destroy somebody or destroy something or do both. And they don't shy away from the destructive aspects of Braun Strowman, especially when he was heel Braun.
Yeah.
When he was turned over ambulances with Roman Reigns inside or throwing Roman Reigns when strapped to a gurney off a parking platform. You know? That's danger. There's dangerous stuff going on.
Yeah.
They didn't shy away from that.
Yeah.
You could keep Dean, even as a tweener character, just being really unpredictable and occasionally very dangerous.
Yeah. Like, Dean could, like, his potential is Stone Cold mixed with Brian Pillman.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it is. That's what it should be. He's got the look. He's got, you know, he's got a lot of that stuff going on. And for whatever reason, they just sort of kept him as good guy Dean Ambrose, you know?
He's more goofy than
he's. Fun to be around.
Yeah, he wears giant cowboy hats and stuff like that.
Yeah, so I don't know. That was always kind of disappointing. So Dean Ambrose, definitely not necessarily a full repackaging, but give him an edge. Make him dangerous.
Yeah.
He hasn't been a heel since he's been in the Shield.
I know.
That's weird.
I know.
Anyways, number one. It's Roman Reigns.
Of course.
It's Roman Reigns.
They got to do something with this guy.
Freaking obvious. It's
Roman Reigns. Lose the vest.
Yeah.
Give him new theme music. Give him a new finisher.
Look at his poor face. He's like, why are these people booing?
That's from Monday.
Why are they doing that again? Stop
it. Give him a new finisher. He was always billed as the muscle of the Shield.
Yeah.
And yet I never felt like his moveset matched up with that. Because even then, you know, his signature was the Superman punch.
Mm-hmm.
You know, anybody could do that.
I know.
His finisher was a spear. Again, anybody can do that. I understand he used to be a football player that fits in with his background, even though they really didn't push that too much during the Shield days. But if he's supposed to be the power of the Shield,
you know what his finisher should be?
What?
Freaking powerbomb.
Yeah, I was going to say that.
That's what it should be.
That razor's edge into powerbomb, that should be his finisher.
Yeah.
Because that's an impressive move.
Yeah, I know.
The spear, period, is not a good finisher.
No, it's not. I hate the Superman punch so much. It's the powerbomb. How cool was it back when Kevin Nash or The Big Show used to jam somebody's head between their legs?
Even when Kevin Owens does it now.
And Kevin Owens, yeah. Sort of look around, powerbomb the crap out of somebody.
Yeah.
And then it's impressive when he does it to like a Brock or a Braun. It's like, oh my God, look at his strength. He is muscle. Yeah, it's the powerbomb. Give him the freaking powerbomb. Nobody uses that as a finisher. Kevin Owens. Pop up powerbomb. Exactly. And it's beautiful. It's amazing.
Yeah.
But just the slow, methodical Kevin Nash style powerbomb.
The jackknife.
Give him the jackknife. Absolutely. Not the last. The last ride always freaks me out.
Oh,
you're
yeah.
coming from way too high on the, yeah. the last ride. I hate that. But just a jackknife powerbomb. There you go. That's what you have to do with Chill Roman in We Book Raw.
Yeah, give him a powerbomb.
Switches finisher.
Lose the spear entirely.
Yeah, lose that entirely. Powerbomb.
Yeah.
There you go.
Jackknife powerbomb.
What's his signature then? What would the signature be?
What's another
be?
Good power move?
Well, it'd be chokeslam maybe. I'm just thinking of Nash didn't do chokeslam.
No, Scott
Giant
Hall.
Did.
Scott Hall did a little chokeslam.
And Giant did.
Yeah.
I mean, there's the big boot. That's always fun.
See, if Braun's finisher wasn't the power slam, that's another good strong move.
How about Roman's signature is clothesline from hell?
All right, that's good.
Because it's kind of like the spear.
But it seems more destructive.
It seems more destructive.
Like a Stan Hansen lariat.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
So there you
so
go.
So anyways, yeah, Roman needs, they just need to redo everything with Roman.
Yeah.
Much. New music.
Just watch We Book Raw, Chilled Roman. That's
Zubaz hard. Shorts.
Yeah.
Like a button-up Hawaiian-type shirt.
Powerbomb.
Some Jordans.
Yeah.
Some retro Jordans.
Yeah.
Good to go.
Powerbomb. Perfect.
With the powerbomb, yes.
Anyways, wow. What a great list we cobbled together. We also today have the top 10. See, here's the thing. Repackages totally work because we, on our list.
We're going to talk about some repackages.
The other episode today, we've got the 10 biggest repackages in wrestling history. I don't
Super
know
successful.
Yeah, something we're going to call something like that. Anyways, that's it for show. Let's get some outro music going here. Hilden, can you put on the music for us? Oh, what a mess. Anyways, that's it for show. Thanks for watching. Let us know what you guys think in the comments. Till next time, we'll talk to you guys later.
Bye.